I'm really looking forward to today's message. I actually came into the pulpit both churches this Sunday, really, really looking forward to the messages. Both of them, I started a two-part series in Corey last night. And if you haven't had a chance, you might want to tune into that because, I just find that even though that God will have me preach church-specific messages, that they still can help us a lot, amen, and be helpful to you. But today's message is called, Are You Thankful? Praise the Lord. Are you thankful? And we're going to be talking about some things with thankfulness and of course having the right attitude with that and stuff. But how we're going to see how it affects in the times of the sign of the times and things like that. But I wanted to let you know, before I got into this message, that this week, as I was going from place to place, I was praying. And as I was praying, all of a sudden there was some unction. And one of the best ways to pray is when there's unction. And what I mean by that is, you have something like, have you ever had those moments of prayer where you could just keep going and going and going because I can pray for this and pray for this. And that's unction, really, is what that is. It's like a stirring on the inside of you saying, you know what, there's some things I can go after. And I know just the right words to say. And that's really the Holy Spirit. I was praying in the Holy Spirit, but then I started praying in my known language. And as I started praying, I started some of your faces started coming before me, and I knew that there was unction, even to lay hands like that kind of unction to impart things, and so I was like, well, man, we haven't had Tuesday services in a while. Do I have a Tuesday service and do this, Lord? I was kind of seeking Him, and what do You want me to do with this? And then the answer came to me just in the form of understanding, and it was a leading of the Lord. But I realized that at that point that I could just speak those things out. And I could speak those things over the ones that God was having me pray for. And as I was speaking those things out, I knew that it was impartation nonetheless. Glory to God. And I'm just so thankful for, of course, the Bible. There's precedent in the Bible for that. When the centurion came to Jesus and Jesus was going to go to the man's need. And as he was getting ready to go, the centurion said, you don't even have need to go. He says, I understand how authority works. You just from where you are, I don't even want to bother you. But just from where you are, say the words and it'll be so. And Jesus said that he had not seen such great faith and all of Israel. And so we understand that that's faith. And so just know that your pastor prays for you, that I seek the Lord for you, glory to God, and that there's things that God will impart, and according the ones that I was praying over, it was according to their faithfulness, glory to God. And I didn't share with any of them specifically who it is, but know this, that the Lord will deliver things according to your faithfulness. When you're faithful, God will bless you in the spirit realm, amen? And that will manifest in the physical and natural realm. Aren't you glad? Glory to God. I am so thankful for a Holy Ghost church and not a church that just, we might get there eventually if we try hard enough or something. I don't know. We're not that kind of church. We're a Holy Ghost church, and I'm just so thankful for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So are you thankful? We're going to be talking about thankfulness today. And of course, as it applies in this time period. But I want to pose a few questions to you before we get into this. And one of those is, do you count or do you discount your blessings? Do you count them or do you discount? We're always told, I was always told when I was, being raised when I was younger, to count your blessings, that's a phrase many of us have heard. But, a lot of times people discount their blessings. People can count their blessings, but they discount them by not seeing them, by dwelling too much on the things that are wrong, amen? By dwelling too much on the things that seem wrong or the things that seem off or what they don't have enough of. But the Bible directs us specifically differently on these things. The Bible directs us to always look for the positive, to always look for the good things. Why is that? Because God knows that when we focus on the positive, it will change our mental stability, our mental place of being. Amen? And sometimes it's really hard to do that. It's really hard in the flesh to feel like you don't want to count your blessings, that you don't want to, that you don't want to go looking for something because you just don't feel like it. But, there's great benefit that comes to us, and there's great benefit that comes to the Lord when we do. I have heard people complain. I have complained myself about dumb things. Sometimes the things that we'll get stirred up about or mad about is something really dumb. There was just recently something I was even complaining about that really, as I found out later when I calmed down and I let sense come to me. praise the Lord, when I let the Lord start dealing with me. And it took days and days for this to come. But all of a sudden, I just had a thought that came to me. And when that thought came to me, what I realized was I was wrong. I was wrong. I mean, can you believe that? I was actually wrong at something. Praise the Lord. But see, I couldn't see that in the time. It was every other circumstance in the world that was causing my problem. And the whole time, the problem was me. I said the whole time the problem was me. Amen. And I haven't even fully, my family might even be sitting here. They may be not, because they might not have got it yet. But I haven't even fully consecrated myself and apologized for the thing that I was wrong in. But it was me nonetheless. It was something that I did. And I caused some stress just because I was upset and I was bent and I was out, you know, because I slipped away from what I knew. And the whole time when this was happening, I knew I was going to be preaching a message on thankfulness. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But, that's how quickly we can get off. So, you know, remember, if you get corrected in a message, if you're hearing something, you know, sometimes we just need to hear it again and again. So you don't get condemning of yourself. You know, if you hear something in a message that corrects you or corrects it, you know, praise God that you got the correction. And not that you had to continue on being stupid. Because what happens is people of the wrong heart, when they get corrected, what they do is they start getting mad. What is that? It's pride. That's all that is. When you get mad because you've gotten corrected, listen, you're not always going to be right. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not always going to be right. There are times I'm surely going to miss it. There's times I'm going to miss it as a pastor. There's times I'm going to miss it as a father. There's many times I'm going to miss it as a husband. Praise the Lord. None of us are going to be perfect. We can't look for the perfection in each other or the perfect circumstances. But what we have to do is look to the perfect God who brings all things round for our favor. Amen. We have to look to him. We have to look for the correction. You know how many times, I don't know how many times I've sat before my pastor and presented something to him. And he's like, no, that's not true. This is what's actually true. And I'm like, and there's that temptation to get mad. But, you know, again, as I've grown a little bit older, I'd grown into my middle age area, or started to enter the middle age area of my life. You know, I'm learning more and more how good it is to be slow to wrath. Amen. To be good with getting correction. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to start in 2 Timothy. And we're going to see here, now this scripture, you know, I've been in these scriptures a lot lately because of the because of the subject matter and because of the things that are happening in the world. But what we're focusing on here is not 2 Timothy 3. And what we're focusing on here is not necessarily the whole. You have to understand that even if there's times where I go to the same scriptures, a lot of times we're digging something different out of it, amen? Or we're getting it from a different point of view, or we're so using it, the same principle, to show another, to answer another question, amen? So in 2 Timothy 3, you know, this is talking about the end times. And really, a lot of these, as I was breaking this down, this gives us all examples of things that we see in society, in people, in the end times. And really, as I was thinking about this, I was seeing that we could really break these down, and probably I could preach a sermon on each and every one of them, how we see these examples just through the end times. But as I read these things, the ones that I'm going to read, because I'm not going all the way through 2 Timothy 3, we're just reading the first two verses, but I want you to consider the things and think about how we do see these things all around us, amen? But know this, that in the last times, or the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, we see that, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. See, a lot of these we can get tripped up on because we say, well, I'm not in pride. But just like I was saying earlier, if you get angry because you got corrected, that's pride. A lot of times we don't understand that pride comes up in many areas. Pride isn't just, you know, I'm proud of this thing or this thing is my pride, but pride can be in a lot of different areas of our lives. And so we have to be careful of that, not to discount something just because we don't think we're that aspect of it. You know, we have to make sure that we see things from other aspects, amen? Lovers of money, I mean, even with that, you know, some people think, well, that's obviously people who are rich, right? But honestly, I see more lovers of money in people that are poor than people are rich, because they spend more time thinking about it, more time dwelling on it, than people that are well supplied. And so what is it? That's a lover of money. Your love, whatever has your attention has your love. Amen. Of course, lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's really big. And really what that is that can be summed up in this. And I wasn't planning on just getting in all these areas, but I do, every time I'm here, I feel I need to explain them a little bit. Being disobedient to parents is literally just being disobedient to authority. See, what happens is the reason why the parenting culture of our country has changed from discipline to non-discipline is because it's the devil that has gotten into society and convinced them that they don't need to teach people. Because if you're not going to be obedient to your parents, you'll never be obedient to authority. My wife, as a school teacher, has seen this over and over as the years have gone on, that the kids in the schools are less and less and less obedient. They don't even care. In fact, there was one example of a policeman that came into a school. And the kids didn't even respect him. I mean, a police officer carrying a gun. I remember when I was probably in fifth, sixth grade, something around there, we had a teacher who was either, I can't remember, she was married or was a good friend of a police officer. And that police officer came into our classroom. And I remember there was a sense in me, not a fear like, oh, I'm scared of this guy, but there was a fear, a reverence, almost like somebody really important just walked in the room and I better be on my best behavior. But that's gone today. That's gone today. Where people will, and where does that all stem from? It stems from the home. When people don't make their kids be obedient, listen, we need, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not trying to stomp on anybody's toes here, but I am. Our kids, your kids better be in line. They better be obedient. They better listen, because if they don't, they're going to cause hell in your life and they're going to cause hell in out there. Because what we have out there, the reason you have rioters and looters is because you have a bunch of kids that were never taught to be obedient. Amen. Glory to God. And it all starts right there with the little things at home. Obedience is necessary. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyways, we're not preaching on parenting today. Unthankful and unholy. So these are things that exemplify or show this time, are examples of what we're going to see in this time period. But what the Lord pointed out to me, and specifically where this message was born, was on that word unthankful. One of the things that marks this time period, or the end times, one of the things that marks that is people who are unthankful. Now, listen, that doesn't just mean people out in the world. These things don't just mean people out in the world, because this certainly was not written to just the world. This Bible was written, or this here was written to Christians. And so we have to understand that thankfulness is something that is being lost, and it's being lost in the church, where people, you know, they feel that they're owed a certain something, and so they lose that that place of being thankful for the things that God has provided for them. Yeah. They'll be unthankful. You know, we've seen this. You know, we've taught our kids. One of the things that was, and the reason I taught my kids this was because this is something my mom taught me, and it was right, that when somebody does something for you, you better show your gratitude. You better show that you're thankful. In fact, there's times where I've thought, man, I didn't thank them for that, and I feel awful because I haven't thanked them for it or something like that. You know, and that's been instilled in me. But these things need to be brought back. But we're going to see how these things apply to more than just thankfulness for stuff, but it's thankfulness toward God. And really, a Christian has no reason to ever not be thankful. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, you have every reason in the world to always be thankful, if for nothing else than that one thing. But that one thing is such a major thing. Our salvation is so important that we should never be unthankful with anything else. Now, God has promised us so much in life. There are so many promises in the Bible, so much so that people in our camps or our circles, they can get focused on that stuff, of what God's promised them, and they can forget that they're to be thankful for it. And what I mean by that is they start looking at it saying, well, this is what I'm supposed to have. Why don't I have this? And they start getting angry. They start getting mad. They say, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. Well, listen, Jesus died for you. That's the very first thing. He died so you didn't have to spend eternity in hell. That's a pretty big thing to be thankful for. And that's exactly where all of our faith should stem, is from that place of thankfulness, because that's holy before the Lord. In fact, we're going to see this in the Word, but thankfulness is something that is commanded to us over and over and over. Thankfulness is equivalent to our praise, and that's the thing that lifts us up out of the trial. In fact, the reason that so many people stay in trial is because they never learn to be thankful. You know, I remember there's this story that we were told once of this. I think it was a minister, and he had this terrible old bed. And, you know, he was believing God for a bed. He was praying for a bed and seeking the Lord for a bed. And time went on, and he was angry about it because he wasn't getting a new bed. And then one day the Lord spoke to him and said, "Why would I give you a new bed? You haven't thanked me for the one that you have." Ouch. Hallelujah. But think about that. You could have no bed. I mean, some bed is worse, or is better than no bed. Amen. Just ask somebody who doesn't have one. You know, if you have a car, you're better off than someone who doesn't have a car. Well, you say, I remember once I gave somebody, I literally gave somebody a car. And a week later, the car broke down. And they were mad. And the people that were friends with them were mad at me. And I was having a discussion with them about this. And they said to me, they're like, well, the car you gave them broke down. I said, it was a free car. If it ran 1 week, it was better than not having one. Sell it for junk then. You're getting more out of it than I did. And you didn't pay for anything. Be thankful. You know, that's the thing. See, people, they look at things wrong. Man, I'm thankful. If I wake up today and I can get out of bed, I'm thankful for that. But even if I couldn't get out of bed, if I woke up, I'd be thankful for that. Amen. There's all kinds of things we can be thankful for, but we have to keep our focus right. And we're going to see that it's a sign of ungodliness, because that's exactly what it shows us here. You know, when you look at this, you know, obviously there's all kinds of godlessness that we see in here, being unholy and being disobedient to parents and being blasphemers, all these things we think are awful. But do we ever think of a lack of thankfulness as being awful? We don't put it up there with that, but it's listed right here with the rest of these things. It says perilous times are come. That word perilous means times of stress. Aren't we seeing times of stress? I mean, isn't there a temptation to just be embracing and to be enveloped in the stress that is all around us? To be, you know, even, I mean, you don't even have to listen very long and it starts stressing you out. Amen. But we have to be people that rise above this. And folks, the answer is always simple to whatever your problem is. I have never had a problem brought before me as a pastor, and I've had some pretty serious things laid on my plate. But I have never had a problem brought before me that the answer wasn't simple. You can always trace it to a simple answer. And if people would just do the simple thing, if they care enough to do it, they would always get their answer. They would always get their help. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's simple, because, you know, if it's something you struggle with, you're like, well, that's not simple, you know. praise God, hallelujah. But we have to be willing to be changed. If we keep a heart that is just open to being molded and shaped by the Lord, we'll do well. That's like really the most basic thing in our faith, that if you throw everything else down, you say, you know what? I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of striving. I'm tired of being angry, of being upset. I'm tired of having things always bother me. I'm just going to allow my heart to be molded. But see, what happens so often is when people come to be counseled or something like that, that when you start directing them on what to do, they start giving you every reason why that can't happen. Yeah. And it's like, no, just be molded. Be molded, because when you're molded, you will find that joy that you're seeking. Because the truth of the matter is, praise God, hallelujah. The truth of the matter is that if you're dealing with an issue now, until you get to the root of that issue, you'll always deal with that issue. It doesn't matter if you're in the situation you're in now or it's another situation. You know, I found this to be true. You know, I actually, part of the reason my wife and I have such a good relationship is because we came into it knowing what was bad in relationships. And so those are the things that we watch for. And when we see something that is a relationship destroyer, we don't accept it. It's just that simple. And because we don't accept it, that's why we have a good relationship. We don't have a good relationship because God put two perfect people together. Because there's only one perfect person in this relationship, you know, and she's sitting right there. Brownie points, hallelujah. That's right. She knew where I was going with that. Because she's so perfect. Yeah. But there's certainly days I don't think she's perfect. There's days where I'm like, well, that wasn't a perfect thing to say. That wasn't a perfect attitude to have. Praise the Lord. But see, I just got to allow my mind to be molded, right? And get back into place. And she molds it well. Praise the Lord. Do this. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We have a great relationship. But the reason we do is because we've both endeavored to be right before the Lord first and foremost. And then the rest of it just kind of all comes. So to make life real simple, the way that you make life real simple is that you just say, you know what? I'll be molded. I will allow God to do in me what he wants to do. And go before the Lord. If you're stuck, and say, Lord, you know, I don't fully get this. I don't fully understand this. I'm having a hard time with this, whatever. But I'm going to allow you to change me. You know, one of the things I love about prayer is what we've been taught about prayer is to pray for other people, but always be willing to change yourself. See, a person who thinks that they've got it figured out or that they've got it good, that's a person who is full of pride. Because the opposite would be true, that you would realize that you ain't got it figured out. Because none of us really do. Amen? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need church. That's why we need pastors. That's why we need the Word of God to put all these things into us and to help us. Listen, I couldn't pastor aside from the Holy Ghost. When I pastor, when I prepare a sermon, it isn't Jeff Michener sitting down and writing a sermon. It is the Holy Spirit dealing with this vessel to do that. And as a result, I can preach something that will actually help people. Because my life didn't help anybody without God. And so neither will yours. And see, that's not a slight against humanity. It's just God designed us to be partners with him. In fact, the Bible calls us co-laborers with Christ. Amen? I just love it. It's just so good. Amen? But it's freeing. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to use an example of thankfulness and just a right heart. My wife and I were talking about my Muffet this morning. That's my daughter up here. Praise the Lord. Now, Muffet is a really good little girl. She does all kinds of great and wonderful things, and she does all kinds of stressful things too. Amen. She's a typical child as far as that's considered. Typical 12-year-old. Praise God. Hallelujah. Typical 12-year-old as far as that goes. But what you know, there's a character of her that I've always loved. This girl gets excited about stuff for other people as much as she gets excited about stuff for herself. And what I'm saying is, if it's a holiday, if it's somebody else's holiday, like Father's Day, you'd think she's a father. Because, man, she's just excited about it. If it's somebody else's birthday, you'd think it's her birthday because she's just as excited about it. I mean, I woke up this morning and I got half-blown-up balloons laying around. And I know she convinced her brothers to do it because she had a hard time doing it. And a sign that says, it is Father's Day, praise the Lord. And a little present there, glory to God. But this is a girl that shows gratitude that way. She's thankful for those things. And I'm thankful for it as well. But I wanted to use that as an example because, man, more of us could be like that. Now, you know, I never claim that my kids are perfect. We all have kids that do cute and wonderful things. Man, if you watch Instagram or Facebook, we got some babies in the church. Just every time my wife and I see them, we're just like, oh, you know, we're just like, just so stinking cute. And we just want to like pinch them because they're so, you know, like I finally understand that. I don't know why you want to like pinch something when it's cute, but don't you want to do that? You just want to, like, it's just going to squeeze you. See a puppy and you just want to squeeze it, you know? But the truth is, if Jesus is your Lord, you have no place in life to be sad because you've already been given the greatest thing that you could possibly have. The Bible tells us if it gave us Jesus, how would he not with him freely give us all things? That lets us know, that's Romans 8:32. What does that let us know? That lets us know that when he gave us Jesus, he was showing exactly what he was willing to do, which is everything. So what our goal then in life has to be is get in line with that. And the first place we do that is with our thankfulness. Too often the people of God want perfect natural circumstances and the blessing of God. But he doesn't work like that. God doesn't work. God isn't going to bless you in perfect natural circumstances. Where the power of God is shown is when circumstances are not perfect, are far from perfect, are nowhere even, no, you can't even put the P in perfect. Do you know what I'm saying? When it's so far, and then God comes in and he blesses that in that place. That's the power of God. But see, we're trying to say, well, I want to go to church and I want the blessing of God in my life where he answers prayers and stuff like that. But I also want everything else to always be just good. I don't ever want a stressful day. I don't ever want, and listen, God is, it's not that God is up there saying, well, I want to give him a stressful day so I can bless him, because that's kind of ridiculous too. But what we're saying is that we try to mix the world, the things we understand of the world, and God. Jesus told us there would be no perfect circumstances. So stop being surprised when they're not perfect. Just stop being surprised. There's no reason for us. I mean, it's foolishness when we have the word of God to sit here and get mad when a circumstance isn't perfect, because we know that's just the way that it is. And the reason it is that way is not because God isn't perfect and not because God hates us. The reason they're not perfect is because you have this thing, it's called an enemy. Has anyone heard of that word enemy before? Well, that enemy is active, and he's got hordes of troops along with him that are watching your life and looking for areas in your life where he can inject imperfection into it, try to destroy your life. What's foolish is when Christians let him. What's foolish is when Christians fall victim to that, and they just constantly, when something bad happens, they come back to this place of just being miserable like the rest of the world. What is the thing that sets us apart? It's Jesus. Well, if Jesus sets us apart, then why do we act like the world? Why do we go back to, the Bible says that it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. It's like a pig having been washed and going back into the mire. That is a Christian who slips back into those things, a place of being unthankful. Because if you start with salvation and work your way up from there, do you know you're saved? Start there. Every single time, start there. Listen, if everything is terrible, it can only be terrible for 70, 80, 90 years, and then it's over. And then everything is going to be good. That's in the worst case for a Christian. So eternity will be wonderful, never knowing a tear, never knowing a bad moment for eternity, right? In the worst case scenario, you know, you could have 80, 90 years, whatever, of terrible. But the truth of the word is that isn't the truth. That it can't be that way. Because the Bible says that God is even good to those who aren't saved. So even those who aren't saved have good days just because God is good. Think about how awesome of a God is. For like the world to despise him, to hate his name, but he still lets his sun shine on them. He still makes sure that they have oxygen. He still makes sure that they can have good things, that there's principles on this earth. You know, there's principles on this earth that work regardless of whether God's in the picture or not. You can work, you could build a business. You could be real good at something, build a business, and become very successful without God blessing you one time. Amen. Those are principles that work in the world. Amen. But we see that God can be good to even the world. We know he's going to be good to us. But even more so, we should know that God wants to work it out for us. But the key part of it is thankfulness, gratitude. Amen? Praise the Lord. yes, he doesn't work things according to perfect natural circumstances. He works them according to his plan and his purpose. Amen? Stop being double-minded. Trying to conform God's ways to the world's. And what I mean by that is stop trying to make what you understand of the world make that God, or make God into what you understand of the world, because it won't be the same. It won't work out that way. Amen? Praise God. Turn with me to Philippians 4. Thankfulness, you will find, is an act of faith. Bible says to just live by faith, and faithfulness is an act of faith. And what do we know about faith? That faith without works is what? It's dead. It's no faith at all. So thankfulness without actions is dead. There's no faith in thankfulness if there's no action. You can't say I'm thankful if there's no actions to prove it. You know, when I got saved and I started finding out the truth, I got thankful. So much so that I started turning my life over to Jesus and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I will do. Whatever you require of me, that's what I will do. And so I started conforming my life to that way, not because I'm so special, because I was thankful. A thankful person gives their life to the Lord, gives their life to the one who's they're thankful to. There's an action that's involved with it. If you're somebody who withholds, I'll give Jesus this much, you're someone who's not thankful. You haven't realized the depth of what God has done for you yet. Because if you understood those things, it's not hard. And I love this in Philippians, go to Philippians 4. And this is called, verse 10, starting in verse 10, the start of this is called Philippian generosity. And I love this because the Philippians were used as an example. These were people who were poor, but gave to the work of God. And I'm not using this message as a way of giving or raising offerings or anything like that, but I'm using them as an example. Actually, I wasn't even thinking about that aspect of it when I came here. It was more of the scripture that that we're going to see. But that's what Paul is commending the Philippians for, is because they weren't moved by the place where they were at. They were moved by the love of God. They said, because God is so good, I can show my generosity. I can be generous. I can give. See, that's the thing. There's Christians, there's a couple different kinds of Christians. There's this kind that are super thankful, they get saved, and they just want to give everything to God. And then there's Christians that get saved, and they withhold everything from God. And what I mean by that, and again, I'm not just talking about finances, but I'm just saying that they always keep something back for themselves. I need this separate life. I need this separate thing. I need this for me. I need that for me. You know, whatever. Those are people that aren't thankful. And I'm just telling you, if you're there, that's what you're showing. You're showing God you're not thankful. So see, people want to get out of trouble. They want to get out of trial, but they never prove it in thankfulness. They never prove it by their actions. Now listen, you can say thank you all day long, but we all know this, that what you say and what you do are two different things. Amen? That somebody can say they're sorry to you, but unless they prove it by their actions, you know they're not sorry. Well, it's the same thing with God. I don't know why we would think it's any different from God. If we say, oh, God, thank you so much for this. Thank you, Lord, for blessing my life. And then you go out and you still live the way that you always did. Or you try to, or you'll try to live the way the rest of the world lives, aside from God. Praise the Lord. You're not thankful. So in verse 10, Philippians 4:10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Amen. Now, he's saying he's learned how to suffer need. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does anyone need to learn how to be poor? Poverty is not something you can understand it, right? There's no teaching in that. So he's obviously not saying, I've learned how to be poor. He's saying, I've learned how to be when I am poor. I learned how to be when I suffer need. I've learned how to be when I've been abased. And how do we know this? When you back what he originally said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Yeah. Amen. What is contentment? Contentment truly is a place where you're like when you think of a child, a little baby when they're content, when they're full, that you know their diapers are changed, their bellies are full, mom and dad are good, there's no arguing, everybody's quiet, that baby's sleeping and just snuggled up and all happy, right? Or at least they're supposed to be. Right. Not always do they do that, but we get the idea anyways. Praise the Lord. What do we know? If you took a baby and you raised them in a place of where there's constantly chaos, constantly stress, constantly yelling, you know, loud noises, stuff like that, you know, that contentment goes. And so why did I even use that example? Because we understand what contentment is. It's a place of being. It's a place of thankfulness, a place of gratitude, a place of where everything is just good. And he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in, no matter if I'm abased or I abound, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be like that baby where I can rest, where I can be, you know what? Things are good. Why are things good? Because I'm saved. Because Jesus is my Lord. Because God has given me the Holy Spirit. Because I know all things. Because I have an unction. Because you see what I mean? There's because I can give and it'll be given back to me. Because I can bless and I'll be blessed. Because there's no curse that comes upon me anymore. Because I'm a child of God. You understand what I'm saying? There's a place to be thankful. And if you can't find thankfulness in those places, then now I got to ask if you're even saved. Yeah. Because if you can't understand even what I'm saying here, the basis of our faith should be thankfulness. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have the Jesus paid a price so awful for me. Do you listen? Go back and read what happened to Jesus. Or better yet, do this. Go watch the movie. What's the movie? Passion of the Christ. We all knew what it was going to say. Go watch the movie of Passion of the Christ. That's what you deserved. Yeah. And that's only a portion of what he got. I mean, you see it for like, what, an hour and a half or something like that? Jesus dealt with that for like 12 hours, they said. And plus all the things that we didn't see. We didn't see the demonic attack. We didn't see the sickness coming on him. All we saw was the physical abuse. But go back and watch that movie, and that's what you deserved. In other words, what I'm saying is that's what he saved you from. That's what you were saved from. Yeah, watch it. I know it's hard to watch. Some people won't watch it because it's so hard to watch. But I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, you need to watch it. If you haven't watched it, there's something wrong. You need to watch it and get an understanding of what Jesus really looked like on the cross. Because until you fully start to grasp that, you will never understand what he did for you. But when you watch that, I remember even talking to some friends of mine who are complete non-believers. They went and watched that movie because when, you know, remember that movie came out, it was big to everybody. Like everybody was watching it. And I remember one of my buddies talking to me about it, a complete non-believer. And he said it kind of jokingly, but there was something more in it. And I'm going to say it. It's going to sound bad, but it really isn't. But when they were watching this together, my two friends, they were telling me about this, both non-believers. They're watching him get scourged. And at one point, it got so intense. The guy, he was using it as a swear word, but he goes, "Jesus Christ." And for me, that just like it connected something because he understood at that point. See, and that's the thing. That's where all of that comes from. And I don't even know if you can see it as I say it there. But that's in that moment, it moved him so much that he shouted the Lord's name. Now, of course, he said it from a standpoint of just it was out of his intense, you know, his flesh. It wasn't like he was trying to swear to be dishonorable or something like that. I mean, he might say that word 1,000 times or say his name like that, use his name in vain like that 1,000 times normally, but he wasn't doing it for that purpose there. But when he saw that and he just was moved to that place, I mean, literally, that's, and so if you can't look at that and be thankful that you're saved, then even in all your screwed up stuff, all the stuff that you just, listen, we're all jack wagons at some point. And you know, at some point, you just look at yourself and you're maybe the only one dealing with you. But you're dealing with you thinking, man, I just jacked that up. I am the jackiest of jack wagons. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's what I am. Amen. I am the most jacked up of all jack wagons. You know you have those moments. But even when you have that moment now, if you've received Jesus, he saved you. So what do you have to be sad about? That is the very basis, I mean, like I said, of our faith. To prove our faith should come out as thankfulness. Lord, I mean, I can't look at my family. If I had nothing else other than my family, I can't look and be like not thankful. Every single time I look at my wife, thank you, Lord. Every single time I look at my kids, thank you, Lord. Not every single time, but you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's a prayer of consecration too, you know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. But we all have those hard moments, but we have things to be thankful for, right? We have things that we can look to and say, you know what? I don't have it that bad. Glory to God. You don't have to learn to be poor. The reason so many never have more is because they don't qualify for more. This is something that a lot of Christians struggle with, even me saying that you could qualify for more. But there's absolute truth to it. There is a way to qualify for salvation and a way not to qualify. We can't mince words. We can't dance around this subject and not realize the blessing of the Lord you need to qualify for. How do you qualify? Well, there's ways to qualify. The Bible's very clear on how we qualify for whatever God has for us. You want to get saved? Hey, we can give you the qualifications to get saved because you can't get saved on your own. So you got to go qualify. You got to qualify under His, amen? Praise the Lord. Under His rules, so to speak, or His ways. So there's two ways to qualify for anything in life. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about anything in life. Number one, there's man's way. And how do you qualify man's way? Well, you can qualify in life for many things. You can get skills. Maybe you are skilled in something. You know, maybe you are extra able. We were talking about this week as I was trying to work on something that I'm not. I was trying to work on our boat. And that just doesn't work. Praise the Lord. And so, but I can build stuff. I'm qualified there. I can do things. I can build, you know, this church. Praise the Lord. I can build a house. I can build just about anything I want. But when it comes to mechanics, I'm not as qualified there. Nobody's running to me to fix their car or their boat or anything else. Amen. And there's reasons for that. But you can qualify for certain things that way. So man's way. Go to college. You can qualify for certain things. Amen. Sometimes people get mad because, you know, well, I don't have more in life. Well, what did you do to get there? What did you do to get more? See, you don't just get because you're there. I mean, my wife went and got her master's degree. She studied and studied and studied to ensure that she got the highest grades absolutely possible and did get the highest grades absolutely possible. She had a teacher that said, in fact, she had a teacher in college that said to her, nobody in my class gets an A. Guess what my wife walked out of that class with? An A. You know why? Because she qualified. And she didn't qualify just because of her intelligence. She's very intelligent. But what she did was is she worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. She was at, well, didn't you say you were at his door like every morning at 7 a.m. or something like that? Yeah, she finally annoyed him so much. She's like, I'm giving you an A. You know, that's what I mean, though. But you earned it by being diligent, by being there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So college skills, qualify by an inheritance. That's man's way. You know, some people are rich just because they have an inheritance. Listen, those aren't necessarily God. Like, there's different circumstances in life, but somewhere along the line, we've learned or we've been told that God has, everything that happens on the earth is because God has made it happen. God didn't make Bill Gates rich. Microsoft made Bill Gates rich. You understand what I mean? God didn't make Elon Musk rich. You know, PayPal and then Tesla, these things made him rich. You know what I mean? It wasn't God just blessing him. You know, God gives us all something. I mean, we're all inherently, you know, we're designed with things and we all have skills or abilities or whatever. But God, that doesn't mean that God specifically gave each person these things. So those qualify, that's all how you qualify man's way. Man's way is not something that is not always fair. Why does somebody? Why do some people? I mean, you look at people on, like the Hilton heiress. You know what I mean? They didn't do anything. Billionaires, millionaires, whatever. Dad built this, you know, or grandpa, whatever. The Rockefellers. I mean, whatever names that you want to use, it doesn't matter. You see people, and they never qualified for that, but people all want that. And the reason they want that is because they don't think right about things. Amen. But then there's God's way to qualify. How do you qualify God's way? You qualify God's way through faithfulness, his blessing, the works of faith. When you work faith, it works for you. When you work faith, amen? When you're faithful, when you're a faithful person, God will bless you when you're a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. Many people seek to be blessed by God's ability without tying themselves to God. And that's the problem. They want to be blessed man's way by God. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? They want to have inheritance, but they don't want to qualify for it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, how do you qualify for inheritance? Well, what's your last name? Yeah, absolutely. This is why God brings us into a whole new. This is why he says, don't be conformed to the world and their way of doing things. Be transformed into my way of thinking and see things my. Because when you do that, you get a new last name. God gives you a new name, and that name is attached to him. That name is the one who's never lacking, is never in need, and doesn't know what to do. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we, and that's not going to work because that's not my code. For whatever reason, it's not using my face. See, I preached so long. Praise the Lord. We get a new inheritance when we come over. But part of the qualification is thankfulness. It's being thankful to God and saying, Lord, I believe, you know, that you've done all this for me, that you provided Jesus for me so I didn't have to stay here. So I thank you, Lord. I'm thankful right where I'm at. Even though I have nothing, I have no reason to believe anything will get better other than your word. I trust your word. Amen. And when you come at it from that standpoint, you set a whole new thing in motion. Why? Because you've stepped out of man's world and you've entered God's world. When you step into God's world, you start activating things that man's world doesn't activate. Again, man's world's unfair. It doesn't matter how nasty a person is. Look at, what was it, Jeffrey Epstein that just killed himself, right? In prison, praise God, hallelujah. Just saying, but you know, believe what you want. It doesn't matter. It just happens to be, I'm not going to go down that road. Anyways, so he kills himself. Billionaire, nasty, disgusting individual. I can guarantee you that man is not in heaven. I guarantee it. He had an island where he took children to do what he wanted to do and took other famous people with him. Yeah, this is the truth, right? Well, praise the Lord. He didn't qualify for God's blessing, but he certainly looked like he was blessed, I guess, if you want to say that. He could afford anything you want. But that's the thing, is that people focus on the wrong thing. That's not the blessing. You know, the Bible says, I preached on last night, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. You know, there's sorrow that comes with the world's riches, the world's way of doing things. But when God blesses you, there's no sorrow attached to it. Nobody can take it. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt someone else. It only does good. God's blessing only does good. You know what God's blessing is? Is Luke 6:38, right? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will pour into your bosom. So in other words, God's blessing is this. You do right, which blesses somebody else, and you get blessed too. God is a multiple blesser. Everything God does is about blessing multiples. Jesus didn't just come. I mean, he came for Israel, but God extended it to everyone. Amen. What a wonderful and glorious thing. Amen. Okay, people, if you're taking notes, get ready, because I'm going to throw some scriptures at you. We're not turning to them. I'm just going to tell you the reference, and I'm going to read them, okay? So write them down and read them later. Praise the Lord. Psalm 50:14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That's Psalm 50:14. Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. That was Colossians 2. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. How many of your prayers have been mixed with thanksgiving? Real thanksgiving. I mean, truly being grateful to God. So then ask yourself, how many of my prayers have been answered? You know, if you haven't sown in thanksgiving, you're not sowing in the needed thing to get the answer. God doesn't just answer every prayer. I know some people teach this, but God doesn't. Christians even talk about this, like, well, I don't know, God doesn't want to answer. No, there's a reason God doesn't answer every prayer, but God doesn't answer every prayer. God doesn't answer prayers that aren't prayed in faith. Yeah. Not from a Christian. Why? Because you should know better. Right. Prayer, and faith. If thanksgiving would be that you know when you go to God that you already have the answer. If you don't know when you go to God that you're going to have the answer, you need to stop the prayer, go back to the Word, and come back when you got the truth. Because your prayer is going to be worthless. Christians praying, well, if it be your will, God, heal me. If it be, no, you don't know God's will. You have no right to pray his will. You have no right to pray for it because you can't pray that. That is not, you got to understand that it is God's will. And when you know that it's God's will, then you go to prayer and you say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm bringing you. I'm bringing you my faith. I'm bringing you my thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that it is your will that you heal me. Lord, I thank you that it is your will that I get out of this situation. Lord, I thank you that it is your will that I rise above this situation, whatever it is. I thank you, Lord. But see, that's a place of knowing and not just saying it, like going there, okay, I heard this in church on Sunday, so I'm going to go try this once. No, this is a lifestyle. Christians have to practice a lifestyle of thanksgiving. The reason they don't see is because they're upset. All the time. They're mad at God half the time for stuff that he hasn't done. They're blaming things on God that the devil's doing or that they're doing themselves. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why they go without. God is willing, ready, willing, and able. Praise the Lord. I was reading Psalm think it's, I hope it's right. Psalm 13. Nope, it's, no, that was Psalm 14. Yes, Psalm 13, 6. I was meditating on this the other day. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. What is that? Thanksgiving. I will sing to the Lord. I endeavor to put this to practice more and more all the time. As I go through my day, Father, thank you for that. If I see something that just makes me happy, Father, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to see that. Thank you for allowing me to have eyes that process the color to be able to see that rainbow and not see it in black and white. Have you ever seen a rainbow and not been amazed? I mean, honestly, have you ever read, oh, it's just another rainbow? No, every time you see a rainbow, everybody's got their phones out taking pictures. Go to Instagram or Facebook and you got everybody putting pictures of the same rainbow on Facebook. Or why? Because they're beautiful, because they're amazing, because there's something really spectacular happening and it's just awesome. Going out into the like I said the other night when my son and I, Caleb, went outside and we were looking at the night sky and we're both standing out there just like two fools looking up at the sky like, wow, the same stars I've seen every night my entire life. And I still go out there and just like, thank you, Lord, for letting me see that. You know, we saw, what did we see? Two shooting stars that night, Caleb? Two shooting stars that night. Man, and I was telling him about when I was driving across the desert. It was amazing. We're driving across the desert, and you can't imagine when you're in a place like that. It's just, if you've never been there, you can't imagine it. But we're driving across the desert at nighttime, not me and Caleb, me and Pastor Tim, and it was at nighttime. But the you can just, it's like panoramic. It's like a panoramic. I know panoramas are taken with phones and stuff, you know, like that. But this was like visually panoramic. It was amazing. I just can't even begin to put words to it. It's just like the sky. You know, they talk about, I think, the Texas sky going on forever and ever or something like that, you know, being huge. It's the same sky, but it just seems bigger. And, you know, we're driving across and we're seeing the moon above the desert. It's just amazing because you just, everything you see, and then shooting star after shooting star. And you just, each time we're just like, oh, I'm so blessed by this move. So do you know that happens like every second? Constantly all over the earth, that things are flying into the atmosphere, and all it is something dying, really. I mean, not really dying because it's not really living, but you know what I mean? It's something being destroyed, but it's just such a beautiful thing. It's just such an amazing thing. And here we are, you know, just thankfulness. Learn to be thankful. When you get to experience, if you ever walked outside and it just hits you, maybe it's the perfect breeze or the perfect smell, be thankful, learn to be thankful, learn to rejoice in what God is doing, what God has done, amen? Because when you learn to do that, when you practice on the small things, it becomes easier on the bigger things. Praise God, hallelujah. I know this, I am thankful for the years that I've gotten. I'm thankful for the years I've gotten with my family. I'm thankful for what I have right now. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for it, even though everything isn't perfect, even though everything isn't lined up the way that I want it to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we need to learn to be thankful more. Amen. Colossians 2, 6. Oh, it was right there. Colossians, right after Philippians. Colossians 2, 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now I would put this before you, and I can't imagine it being otherwise. If you have truly received Jesus, you received him with thanksgiving. In other words, you were thankful when you heard that someone saved you, that someone could guarantee a way into heaven, that someone wanted to bless you, that someone paid a price you couldn't pay. Most people, when they're saved, if they got saved, they were saved with thanksgiving. So as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Jesus? You received him simply. It wasn't some, like, you didn't have to take some tests. You didn't have to have some big long list of qualifications. You just had to receive him. You just had to say, yes, Lord. It was simple. And it says, so walk this way, amen? Walk in him. In other words, continue this way. Rooted and built up in him. When you got saved, you were, at least for a moment, you were built up in Christ. You were like, you there was hope. There was a glimmer of hope in your life. Yeah. Continue to walk that way. This is the will of the Lord. Yeah. Built up in him and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with, how do you abound in the faith? With thanksgiving. Why? Because if you're not thankful, there's no faith. There can't be. Because faith is really trusting in what something is. When you have faith in something, you trust fully in what it is or what it's saying or what it does or whatever. So if you trust God, you would have no option other than to be thankful. And if there's no thankfulness, you don't trust God, there's no faith. You can't take the two. And so if you're sitting there saying, well, I guess I wasn't trusting God. Well, now you need to. See, that's the answer. The answer is now you had to continue to remind yourself. How do we remind ourselves to be thankful? That you allow yourself to look at something like a shooting star that you've seen a gazillion times and be happy with it again. It doesn't have to be a shooting star. Maybe you don't like stars at all. It doesn't matter. I mean, maybe you have a phobia of stars. I don't know. Some people have weird things, you know. There's something in your life that you like. And you have to understand that God made that. That God created that. That God said, you know what I mean? And so when God spoke, he said, and when he did that, and if maybe you're the only weird person in the world that likes it, you have to understand that God created that knowing you'd be the only weird person in the world that likes it. But he still made it for you. Glory to God. Do you know that's why I get so thankful at things like that? Because when something gets me like so pumped, like jazz, like a starry sky or something like that, or even a smell. You could ask my family, how many times have we driven and there's a certain smell in certain places you get. And I always tell them, I was like, if there's anything or you know you need to remember about your dad, whenever you smell this, you remember that was your dad's favorite smell. You know what I'm talking about, right? It usually comes out of a creek, out of the woods, you know, when the wind blows. You know, that smell that's like I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. But every time I smell it, I'm just like, glory to God. You know, I just get excited about it, right? I like simple things, but hey, I get thankful about it. Maybe I'm the only weird guy in the world that likes that. Glory to God. But I'll be thankful because knowing that God, and it blesses God that when we enjoy his creation, when, you know, when we praise, when we do that, when we're in awe at God's creation, we're literally praising God. We're saying, Lord, man, this is, wow. When you look at the, you know, when you, I'll never forget, Pastor Tim took me to the Grand Canyon and he said, we got to go to it a certain way. And he wouldn't let me look. He made, we're driving up to it, you know, and he made me just like look down and avert my eyes. And then this is trust. And when we got out of the car, he said, okay, now when we get out of the car, you got to keep your eyes closed and you just got to follow me, you know. So I, all right. Just remember, it's a Grand Canyon. I mean, it's big, right? Big drop. Hallelujah. So I walk, you know, and we get there and he's like, okay, now open your eyes. And I'm just like, oh my God. It was the same, I mean, and he told me he had the same reaction. It's just like, oh my God. Just that's all you could say, oh my God. Because you just can't imagine. You can't, I mean, when you're standing before it, when you stand in front of the ocean for the first time, yeah. Oh my God. You know what I mean? When you see just all these things you see you in the desert, wherever you are. I mean, we take for granted the beauty that we live in. You know, because we get distracted by snow and stuff like that. But man, oh my God, when you look around and you see the green, like I remember when people first came from Southern California here, some of our friends came from Southern California, they said, we've never seen green like this. Because there's not green like this everywhere. You know, it's just green. Everything's green. Everything's green, green, green. And everything there is brown. And that's beautiful too. I mean, when you go there from, but you know, that's praising God. That is praises to God because that's all his creation. And especially once you recognize it, you're like, dear Lord, you know, it's amazing. I honestly had that. I was watching my brother and my cousins. They were dressing a deer. You know what that means. If you don't, we'll ask someone else. But they were dressing a deer, and the deer was hanging. And I remember when they got the hide off of it, I looked at this thing, and I was just like, it just spoke to me. I was like, dear Lord. You know, I'm just sitting there thinking about it. It's just so amazing how everything was just laid out and perfectly in place. And it's like, you know, if there's anything that speaks against evolution or big bangs, it's that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying there couldn't have been a big bang, but you know, that's not how God created everything. But, that really is thankfulness. To learn to be thankful in those things. See, I know it sounds small, but when we practice the small things, they become easier in the bigger things. And as you put them to practice and you put in your life, I'm just going to be a thankful person. It's just like when you've decided I'm going to be a generous person, you'll be generous. When you decide that you're going to be a good person, you'll be good. When you just decide in your heart that you're going to be a faithful person, you'll be faithful. Why? Because when something matters to you, you'll just do what you got to do to be there. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're in two, yeah, with seven, with thanksgiving, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now it goes on to say, beware lest anyone cheat you through a philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of Godhead is in him. Right? Isn't that what it says? Who else is in him? Me? You? All the fullness of God is in you bodily. It's in you because you're part of the body. God, or Jesus made us part of the body. God made us part of the body. Oh, it's time. Praise the Lord. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. You are not complete without thanksgiving. Again, thanksgiving is not just saying thank you. Remember that faith without deeds is dead. I don't know. I got a lot more here, but obviously is not going to get to it. But we see here is a good foundation. You know, one of the things that marks the end times are people who are unthankful. We can't be those people. We have to be people that are thankful for everything that God does, everything that he wants to do, believing that his plan is good. You know, again, if you can't remember that, you start with Jeremiah 29:11 and work from there. But there's a lot of scriptures that point us to God's got a plan to bless us. Praise the Lord. God wants us in, praise God, he wants us blessed, but he wants us thankful. Thankfulness is, and you got to see this, when you start recognizing unthankfulness or a lack of thankfulness in people, you have to recognize that it's ungodly. You have to, it's just as ungodly, it's sin. That's what it is. And so we're not going to have that either. We're going to be people that are thankful. We're going to be people that endeavor to do the will of God in thankfulness, and we will see the blessing of the Lord in the land of living. Yeah.